Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Happened this month. We're talking about it quite a bit. The Bureau of Land Management proposed canceling 7 controversial APR bison grazing permits, covered 63,000 acres of federal land in Phillips County. The reversal does come after 3 years of legal and administrative challenges led by state officials, Montana ranchers, Montana Farm Bureau. We heard from them this week, federal delegates, and Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. He called it a win for Montana's ranchers, our producers, and the rule of law. We're going to get into his thoughts on that here today as he's going to join us. We'll also discuss a new lawsuit by several Montana legislators that could upend the state's new property tax procedures. SHOT Show wrapped up in Vegas, and the state has just opted into new federal tax scholarships to support school choice for parents and students in Montana. The governor today on Voices of Montana is on the line here today. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, serving this great state since 2021. A lot of focus, on, of course, on our economy, but education, public safety, school choice. Good morning, Governor Gianforte. How are you, sir?
Tom, Mr. Sunshine. Good to be with you.
Oh, I'm not sure that's a name that will stick with me, but I appreciate you coming in. And I want to, you know, a lot of things on our plate here, but just tell me how things are, you know, early on. Just came back from the SHOT Show. There's a lot of, a lot of hope for Montana's manufacturing in that direction as well, and a lot of movement.
That's right. We were down in Vegas this week. We had 20 Montana firearms and ammunition manufacturers there exhibiting. We had a reception that was standing room only. It was a full room, couple hundred people. Wow. It was both the Montana manufacturers, but then all these prospect companies. So we're there primarily to help our existing manufacturers sell their wares, but also to recruit additional firms to Montana. And if folks don't know, we have over 150 firearms and ammunition manufacturers in Montana. These are good businesses, because a small machine shop can start up in a rural community, 10, 20 employees. These are high wage jobs to complement our agricultural base. I had at least a half a dozen firms come up to me and said, I'm in Washington State, I'm in California, I'm in Colorado, and I am done. Can I come and look at what's happening in Montana? Is there a rural community where I can set up? Can I get workforce? Can I get skilled machinists? Can I do this? And we're trying to help them do that. It was really encouraging, and just proud to be there representing Montana.
What does the government do to lay the groundwork for not only this industry, but manufacturing in Montana? You don't want to get too overburdensome in a lot of ways, and you don't want to spend a lot of money that doesn't necessarily need to be spent in this regard. What kind of things do the government do to lay ground for that?
Well, I always say I'm with the government and I'm here to stay out of your way. Being a business guy myself, we have to create an environment where the private sector can thrive. So in the firearms industry in particular, we've passed a law because other states are persecuting and discriminating against firearms companies. In Montana, we embrace the Second Amendment. We passed a law that said banks in Montana cannot discriminate against companies that are in the firearms industry in the provision of banking services. That's not the case in other states. They are getting persecuted. They're getting loans recalled, and they can't do business. We also, you know, we've made our workforce programs where we allow high school students to go spend part of their school week in a local business. Could be an architect's office, could be a law office, could be a gun manufacturer, could be some other machine shop, and get high school graduation credit for it. And then they're looking for a regulatory environment that's not burdensome and doesn't have a lot of red tape. These are all the things we've been working on. We're just trying to build on the fact that we've already got 150 firearms and ammunition manufacturers, build on the fact that we love our Second Amendment rights. And these are companies that align with our culture here. We want more of them.
I appreciate that an awful lot. Spoke with Neil Weldon, L49R, I think, a new company that had had needed some help and got some help, you know, to get their plans moving forward as well. So it's exciting that, you know, you see these things in theory, but they're happening on the ground in Montana.
Yeah, and that Line 49, they're opening up in Kalispell.
Yep.
They happen to be a Canadian firm, just covered up in bureaucracy. They said, we're done with this. They're moving down. They're investing here. They're hiring Montanans. We want more of that. I had a guy come up to me right at the end. I was roller bagging my luggage out of the lobby in Las Vegas to head back home. And he runs after me, says, Governor, I want to give you my card. I've been hunting in Ekalaka for decades, coming out there, love it. I'm in Wisconsin today, and I got to get out. Can I come talk to you about where I could find a location to put my business? And we got right back with him. Our business attraction group at the Department of Commerce, we're going to set up a red carpet visit for him, and hopefully that'll be a new employer right there in Ekalaka.
That's just great. You know, and stability, you know, the fact that you guys have paid off all your debts in Montana, you led that effort here as well. That kind of stability really attracts businesses too. So all those little things, I appreciate you speaking about that. Let's get to something real big here. And it's this BLM proposed cancellation of, in my mind, very controversial APR bison grazing permits. APR called this cancellation arbitrary, arguing the agency change rules after the process. I felt that was an ironic take because it was the Biden administration and APR that attempted to illegally change the rules to get this passed as well. I think it's very important for a lot of reasons, but you have noted this as well. Win for Montana's ranchers, producers, and the rule of law. Go into it, please.
Well, let's be clear. Ag is our number one industry, and it's the very fabric of our rural communities. If we take land out of production agriculture, our communities are not as strong. There aren't as many job opportunities. The local, CHS is selling inputs to farmers. The local John Deere dealership is not selling as much equipment. There aren't as many kids in the school. These are all the ramifications. And the Taylor Grazing Act is very, very clear. It says that grazing on federal land is exclusively for production agriculture. And what these other groups and the Biden administration tried to do was take production grazing land out of production and use it for wildlife conservation. Now, we're all in favor of wildlife conservation, but not you don't have to take land out of production to do that. That's what they were doing. That's why we challenged them in court. I was thrilled that Secretary Burgum listened to our argument, revisited the bad decisions, the illegal bad decisions that Biden administration had made, and just last week reversed it, saying federal land, federal grazing permits can only be used for production agriculture. Now, if they were running a production agriculture business with bison, that would have been fine, but that's not what they were doing.
Right.
They were taking land out of production agriculture, and that harmed rural agricultural communities. And it violated federal law, particularly the Taylor Grazing Act. Thrilled with the decision.
And they asked for all, you know, waivers that would not be granted the livestock industry. So, you know, I feel I'm really glad there was pushback in this regard, because I felt the process was illegal and also the intent of it not completely forthright. As well, there's a, you know, the conservation movement is moving into land leases, and there's going to be a necessary pushback on that. What do you think happens? I mean, I think APR is probably going to challenge this decision. I've always felt that, you know, NEPA should have been involved in this as well, and they skirted around that. I always felt that this was probably going to the Supreme Court in some way or other.
Well, our legal position is rock solid here. Mm-hmm. The Taylor Grazing Act is very clear. So if they want to challenge this, the only way they can is to get Congress to revoke the Taylor Grazing Act. And I don't think that's going to happen.
No. And the language in there is pretty darn clear. Have you heard from APR on this? Have they contacted, the governor's office regarding maybe resolution or direction, or even to, express their opposition?
Not since the decision.
Okay.
I just want to say this is a win for Montana ranchers, and I was thrilled to argue this case on their behalf, and we won.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us here again. Montana's 25th governor, spent a lot of years in the private sector working also with the First Lady, founded Right Now Technologies from scratch, and there was good paying jobs behind that as well, and a lot of focus on the economy, and also a lot of focus on education. Next week is School Choice Week. You have the state has opted in to this a federal tax scholarship for school choice. Let's get into that right now.
Well, this is important. Next week is School Choice Week, and here's why it's important. As a father of four, anybody that's a parent knows no two children are created the same. They don't learn the same. And the guiding light in education has to be helping every young person, every student reach their full potential. That's best done when parents have options in how their kids educate. We need strong public schools. This is why we've passed record funding to increase teacher pay. But it's also the reason why we went to open enrollment in Montana under our administration so that parents can pick the public school that might be best for them. We went to a program where homeschools and kids going to independent schools can now play sports on public school teams.
Yeah.
Or maybe mom doesn't want to teach physics or calculus. They can go to the public school for one class a day. This is to give parents more options. And what we did recently here was we opted into this federal program that gives a tax credit. This is much like what we've already done in Montana. It's just one more tool in the toolkit. 'Cause when parents have choice, kids do better.
Do you feel like, and it sounds like it, but you know, balancing, because you have to balance school choice with support for public schools as well, especially in those rural areas. And it sounds like those ideas try to accomplish that.
Well, we have more choice in the cereal aisle than we do in how we educate our kids. And I just think more options are better. I mean, our public schools are the heart and soul of our rural communities.
Yeah.
And frankly, school choice only works where there's enough economies of scale that you can support multiple options. But this is why we've also invested in the Digital Academy to get, you know, if there's a great physics professor at Harvard who happens to be able to reach high school students, why isn't that available in Saco and Big Timber and Big Fork all across the state? Well, we can when the Digital Academy can provide options to complement the great local teachers that we have. So again, options are good. They produce better outcomes. That's what school choice is all about.
And just one final thought about, getting past the pushback. It's been the courts have kind of interjected themselves, I think, in this discussion. And it really ought to be about, you know, keeping it local, so to speak, and keeping it in state and in house. How do we get past those kinds of objections where people feel like public education is going to be threatened instead of enhanced through this?
Well, in every other area of our life, competition makes people perform better. Mm. And when you have a monopoly, when there's only one choice, you don't get the best product. So I just common sense applies here. I know every parent wants the best for their child. Why not have more options? This is not about preserving some government institution. It's about helping every student reach their full potential. And when you look at it through that lens, you want more options.
I want to focus on the economy and the tenure of Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Almost called him congressman. He was for a couple of years as well, and focused on jobs there, public lands, healthcare too. And this Better Montana Jobs Project has been very successful. You look at the unemployment rate here and the number of businesses coming in. I think that's a win as we've got Governor Gianforte on the program today. Let me set this up, and I got a couple of calls. Thank you guys for calling in. It's 866-627-5483. Text a message here. Got one of those too, 781-627-5483. So there was a lawsuit. We talked about it. I'll probably get into it more. I know I will next week, but by three senators, well-known Republicans that are attempting to strike down Senate Bill 542. That's the legislature's major property tax overhaul. They say it was a clear violation of the Montana Constitution. And then they allege, and they're going to argue process, which I don't think is going to be very successful, but they do allege that there's a more serious violation, the single subject rule, where they claim there are three independent subjects into this one bill: a cash rebate, permanent property tax restructuring, and charter overrides and reimbursements for local governments. So that sets the stage, and I know we've got some questions in that regard. Governor Gianforte, again, with us on the program. Thanks, Greg, for being here. I appreciate the work you do, and I think the Montana will be better off with a lot of these things accomplished. Let's go to Wayne in Kalispell, because Wayne, thanks for calling to the program today. You got some questions for the Gov.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Governor, I've heard you say a few times that when it comes to sales tax, your comment is not on my watch. Don't want to be the governor that introduces or lets a sales tax in Montana. And I think you can flip that and say, I was the governor that significantly reduced or eliminated income taxes on Montanans, or significantly or reduced property taxes on Montanans, and at the same time introduce a sales tax where the low-income Montanans pay little or no sales tax. You can structure it where middle-income Montanans get a rebate of sales taxes, and at the same time collect millions, if not hundreds of millions, from out-of-state tourists. And I guess want to hear why you think that's not a good idea.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate
that. Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, my opposition to sales tax is because Montanans oppose a sales tax. It's been on the ballot a number of times. You know, if it went on the ballot again and Montanans voted in favor of it, I don't think that'll happen. Then it might be different. But Montanans have spoken. I think when you add a new tax, it's sort of like swallowing a tapeworm. It gets into your system and it expands to consume all the nutrients that are available. And my focus has been to lower the taxes we have rather than adding new taxes.
Wayne, thanks for that. I want to follow up. I'll have Skip follow up there, because we'll continue to talk about sales taxes and property taxes here. It seems like, Governor, that the only solution that's being put forward is a sales tax, and I'm not sure, you know, the ends for that are going to be accomplished. So, you know, are there other solutions that people are asking that question? Let's take a quick call from Skip in Hamilton, and then we'll add more to this discussion.
Are you there, sir?
Yeah. Good morning, Skip.
Yes. Hey,
thank
Skip.
Thank you. And Governor Greg, thanks for coming on today. I just thought I'd like to know that over the last commercial break, that the price of 1 troy ounce of silver went over $100. Just happened for the first time. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Are you going to unload your backlog?
No, sir. I'm just going to put on my mask and come. When I die, I'm coming back as a Lone Ranger. So I just know that it's a milestone, $100 for a troy ounce of silver bullion. So meanwhile, I thought I'd ask you about something you had said so that you could give us a better idea of what would happen. And you mentioned a flat tax in the past. How would that work? And is it just for like our state taxes on income? How would that work? If something like that went into the legislature.
Thanks, Skip. Yeah, I think this is really important. It's something we've been arguing for. When I came into office, we had like 7 or 8 income tax brackets. It was very progressive. The more you made, the higher the percentage. Working with Senator Hertz, we went down to 2 brackets, just 2. There was a rate that applies to your first bit of income, and then it's a higher rate as your income goes higher. The reason a flat tax is important is what a flat tax is there's one bracket, one rate. If you make X dollars, you pay that rate on X dollars. If you make 2X, you pay the same rate on 2X, whatever that is. The reason it's important is once you get to a flat tax, I think 16 states now are at a flat tax for income. That's one rate for all income. If you make more, you pay more. If you make less, you pay less in proportion to how much you make. The reason it's important is once you get there, it's very difficult for a future legislature to raise taxes on anybody. When you divide the people of Montana into brackets, it's very easy to say, well, we'll tweak this one. It'll only affect this minority. We'll tweak this one. It'll only affect that minority. When there's one rate for everybody, if you increase the rate, you're increasing the taxes for everybody. That's why a flat tax. So I'd like to see, we've made great progress. When I came in, income, most people paid 6.9% of their income to the state of Montana. Now, most Montanans pay 4.7%. That's over 2 percentage points lower than it was when I came into office. And then it bumps to 5.4. I'd like to see in our next legislative session, we get to 4.7 for all Montanans. That would be a flat tax, and it'd be very difficult in the future for a legislature to raise it on anybody because they'd be raising it on everybody.
Governor Greg Gianforte, thanks for the comments, Skip. Appreciate that, and Wayne as well. One more off the text message. Would you mind asking Greg his thoughts on the UPNS merger? Montana Farm Bureau just brought their opposition, got it adopted into a national policy last week. We heard that on this show with Scott Kulbeck earlier this week. In his administration, is your administration in opposition? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so rail is critical for our farmers to get their grains and pulse crops to market. I've heard clearly from the Farm Bureau and other ag groups that they are opposed to this merger. So our Department of Ag, Jillian Street, my understanding is she's signing on to a letter with these ag groups opposing the merger because we need to have competition in rail transportation to make sure our farmers have options to get their products to market.
Have you been hearing that? Obviously, you heard from farmers. What is the discussion around this? The possibility that it's going to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, the concern is that with if you go from three rail carriers to two, there'll be less options. And I'm a fan of options. We talked about that when we talked about school choice. Mm-hmm. It applies in all areas of the market. When you have choice, there's more competition on pricing. Although BNSF is the predominant rail carrier, we have a little bit of the other carrier coming into down into Butte and down through Dillon. More choice means more options, more competition for rates, and that's a better thing for our producers.
Not enough time. I got 30 seconds. Tell me about the hunting thing you did with kids.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
We've had over 1,200 kids submit their pictures and stories to the Youth Hunting Story Contest. We had them into the Capitol a couple weeks ago. Did a big wild game feed. We tricked them out with Kenetrek boots, Sitka parkas, taxidermy from J2 Taxidermy, Stone Glacier backpacks, just celebrating this hunting heritage that we have and encouraging these young people to pursue it with their family and to pursue it in an ethical way, celebrating private land access, public land access, and just the an incredible heritage we have in hunting.
Thank you, sir. Love that program. Thanks for coming on. Talk to you later. Be well. Say hello to Susan.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.